I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. I'll be reading from chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, verse 3. But now we'll be using most of this chapter. I'm speaking to you today on this subject, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Our Lord spoke to the multitude by parables. The disciples asked him one day, they said, "Why do you teach them in parables?" And he said, "Because they have eyes, but they do not see, and ears, but they do not hear, and hearts, but they do not understand. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear, and your hearts, they understand. But I speak to the multitude in parables." And he spake many parables. And this one is the parable of the sower. Now let's look at it in Matthew 13:3, and you just keep your Bible open to that particular chapter, and let's look at the parable of the sower. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now what our Lord says here is that a certain farmer in an eastern country one morning gathered his seed together and put it in a sack and went out into the field. And he began to sow the seed. He began to scatter it in every direction. The sower went forth to sow, and he scattered the seed in every direction. Now there was a pathway along the field where people walked, where the ground was hard and well packed with footprints of the people who had walked there. And some of the seed that the farmer sowed fell on that hard, fallow, well-packed ground. And our Lord said that it did not come forth. It just lay there. And as the sower went on across the field throwing the seed, the birds in the trees waited until he had gone, and then they swooped down and picked up the seed that had fallen on the hard, fallow ground. Now that's the first type of ground he tells us about. He said the sower scattered the seed, and some of it fell on this pathway, on the hard, fallow, unplowed ground. And of course the seed did not take root. It did not bear. It just lay there. And after a while the birds of the air came and bore it away. And he continued to sow. And some of the seed fell on rocky, stony ground. In other words, there was a part of the field where the plow had not turned over the dirt. And the dirt was just a thin layer on top of the rocks. And some of the seed fell there on this rocky soil. It fell there where the soil was so thin, right next to the rock. And he said this seed took root and sprang up quickly. The little tender plant came up quickly, but then the sun came out. And because the plant had no root, because the plant did not reach down into the moisture deep within the ground, it withered and died. And then the sower moved on. And he said the sower scattered the seed, and there was a corner of the field with that in which the thorns and briars and vines grew. And some of the seed fell among the thorns and the briars, and it sprang up. But as it grew, the thorns and the briars and the vines grew and choked the plant, and it did not bear any fruit. It died also. And then our Lord said that some of the seed fell on good ground, ground that had been plowed and ground that had been prepared and ground that was rich and ready to receive the seed. And when the seed fell on the good ground, it began to grow, and it brought forth much fruit, some 100-fold and some 60-fold and some 40-fold. Now, there are the four types of ground. Now, you remember that. We're going to look into all four types of ground that our Lord mentions here. He said a sower went forth to sow. And as he scattered the seed, some of it fell on hard ground, unplowed ground, fallow ground. And the birds of the air blew it, just swooped down and took it away. And then some of it fell on real thin soil that covered rocks. And it grew up quickly. But then the sun came out and it withered and died. Some of it fell among thorns and briars and they choked the plant. But some of it fell on good ground. And it brought forth some 100-fold, not all the same in the whole field. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 40-fold. Now, when he had left the multitude, his disciples came over to him privately, and they said, "Lord, declare unto us the parable of the sower. Tell us what you're teaching the people. Open our understanding and tell us about the parable of the sower." And that's what I want to do, just taking the scripture. Now, you stay in Matthew chapter 13, and this is recorded by Luke and also by Mark. And we'll be referring to some of those verses, but Matthew 13 mainly. First of all, our Lord said this to them. He said, "The seed is the word of God." Now, that's the seed. The preacher of the gospel is the sower. And he goes forth over the world, wherever he goes, by television or by radio or from the pulpit or the missionaries out yonder in the jungles. Wherever a man preaches, a true minister of the gospel, he's like the sower scattering precious seed. Now, what is that seed? Our Lord said the seed is the word of God. Now, when the sower goes forth with the seed, the first thing we know about the sower and his seed is this: he didn't make the seed. God made the seed. And the same thing is true of the man who preaches the gospel. Now, if a man doesn't preach the gospel, if he preaches human reason and human logic, if he preaches human tradition, if he preaches ritualism, yes, that's his seed. He makes it up. It's dead seed. It's lifeless seed. But when a preacher goes forth bearing the precious seed, the word of God, it is not his own seed. It is God's word. God makes the seed. The scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all scripture is God-breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the word. And this is the seed that was sown. It's God's word. Paul said to young Timothy, "Preach the word." And God said, "My word, which goeth forth out of my mouth, will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it." Now, the seed is God's word. The sower is the preacher, and the seed is God's word. Now, notice the second thing about the seed. It is living seed. God's word is the living word. Listen to this scripture. "We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth, and abideth forever." One time an atheist came to a preacher, and he said to him, "How do you know that God made all things?" He says, I can make things that you claim God made. He said, "Look, I've made a seed of corn. I have in my hand a seed of corn that I made, and I have a grain of corn, and I have in my hand beside it a grain of corn that you said God made. Now, which one is the grain of corn that God made?" And the man looked at them carefully, and they did resemble. They looked very much alike, both just shriveled, dried grains of corn. And it's very difficult to tell wax flowers from real flowers. But the preacher looked at these two grains of corn, and he said to the man, he said, "I'll tell you, if you'll give me a few days, I'll tell you which grain of corn you made and which grain of corn God made." And the man said to him, "Why do you need a few days?" Well, he said, "I tell you, I'm going to plant them. And the one that comes up is the one God made, because it has life in it. And you may make a grain of corn that resembles the one God made. And you may make one that no one can tell the difference by looking at it. But the one that has life, that's the one that God made." So this word that we preach, this seed that we sow, this precious seed, is living seed. It's the living word of God. We're born again by the living word of God. The word gives life. James 1:18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of life," the word of truth. Now notice the third thing about this preacher who sows the seed. Our Lord said, first, the sower is the Son of Man, and the seed is the word of God, the living word of God. But here's something else about it. The preacher's task is to preach the word. He is not responsible for the harvest. His task is to preach the word. He's not responsible for the harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is in the hands of God. It says over in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6, Paul said this, "I have planted, Apollos has watered, God giveth the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. So the Lord of the harvest is the God of glory. The preacher's responsibility is to be true and faithful in preaching the word, in sowing the seed, just like the farmer who goes out and scatters the seed. He cannot make it grow. He cannot make it yield fruit. God is the Lord of the harvest. But he can plow, and he can water, and he can fertilize, and he can sow the seed. And that's our responsibility as the ministers of the gospel, is to preach the word of God. We're to preach the word about God, his character, his attributes, his glory, his gospel, his saving mercy, his judgment, his wrath, his truth. We're to preach the word about man, his fall into sin, his need of a Savior, his inability. We're to tell men the truth about themselves. And then we're to preach the truth of the Word of God about Christ. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is my business as a preacher of the gospel to faithfully preach the word about Christ. The word about God and the word about man and the word about Christ. And it's my business to faithfully preach the word about salvation. What is salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, redemption, is not in the law. It's in Christ. Salvation, redemption, is not in good works or human merit. It's in Christ. Salvation, redemption, is not in the ceremonies of religion, the ordinances of religion. They have their place. They have their place. They do their, what God gave them to do, but they do not save. Christ saved. We're to preach the truth about judgment, the truth about eternity. We don't know anything about the soil. We can't tell. As I'm preaching right now, these words are falling on different types of soil. This is the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and it's falling on different types of soil. And I don't know anything about the soil, but I do know something about the seed. I do know something about the Word, and that's my responsibility, and that's my business, is not the harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. It's my business to proclaim the truth. The truth about God, the truth about Christ, the truth about man, the truth about redemption, the truth about salvation, the truth about death, judgment, and eternal condemnation. So that's the first thing. The disciples said, Lord, declare unto us this parable. And he said, well, first of all, the sower is the Son of Man, the preacher of the gospel, whether it be our Lord or his apostles or those today who faithfully preach his word. And the seed, which is scattered, which is sown, is the word of God. Now, first of all, he said some fell on hard, fallow ground. I told you a moment ago there was a pathway. Some of you who were raised on farms, you know something about the garden or the fields and how you have a pathway around the field and sometimes a pathway through the field. And as this sower scattered the seed, some of the seed, as he scattered it, fell there on that hard, fallow ground that had not been plowed. People had walked on it and pressed it down, and the seed just lay there. That's all, just lay there. And those birds were sitting up in the tree watching. And as the farmer moved on, they just swooped down, picked up the seed, and bore it off. Now, what did the Lord say about that fallow ground? Are you listening? Our Lord said that fallow ground, that hard, baked, beaten, hard soil, are people who are exposed to the preaching of the word. They hear the word. It's preached to them. But they have no interest. They're totally indifferent. They're unconcerned, and they're hardened. Now, they may be hardened in sin. They may be hardened in their tradition. They may be hardened in their unconcern. They may be hardened in their religion as well as in their sins. They may be hardened in the traditions of religion, but somehow these people get in the way of the gospel. Somehow their path crosses the path of the gospel. Maybe right now, maybe someone has gotten up this morning and read the paper and had a cup of coffee and walked over and turned this program on. And here I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the things of the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the mercy and love of God in Christ. I'm talking about the precious atoning, redeeming, cleansing, satisfying, sanctifying blood of the Son of God. I'm talking about the one mediator between God and men. And some people are sitting there and you're hearing these words, but they're just falling on hard hearts. Hearts hardened by sin, or hardened by tradition, or hardened by religion, and it bears no fruit. It just sits there. And our Lord said after the sower goes on, after the preacher goes off the air, quits his sermon, that seed is laying there. You've heard it. But then Satan comes, the fowl of the air, and he replaces that seed with some other interest. He just bears it away. You get taken up, you've got to fix dinner in a little while, or you've got to go to grandma's house in a little while, or you're going fishing this afternoon, or you're going boating, or you're going to do something, and that seed, that word of God that I faithfully preached to you, it's gone. And the place thereof knoweth it no more. You know, Herod heard John the Baptist. He heard a great preacher. In fact, our Lord said of John the Baptist that he's the greatest man born of woman. And Herod heard him. And Scripture says he heard him gladly. But his heart was hard. Hard with self-will. He was going to do what he was going to do. His heart was hardened through self-will and through lust. And the seed did not bear any fruit. And John the Baptist was gone, and Herod was still steeped in his rebellion, in his sin. Agrippa heard Paul, but his heart was hardened by ambition and pride and human glory. Felix heard Paul and even trembled, but the word bore no fruit. The Lord God has sent his word. He has not left himself without a witness. He has sent his word by preachers and pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers. He has sent his word from the pulpit in books, in Bibles, in over 1,000 languages. Our Lord has sent his word by missionaries in every nation. And yet man's heart is hard. His heart is hard and unconcern and indifference. And the deceitfulness of sin has hardened his heart, and the deceitfulness of religion, and he will not hear. Now that's the first type of soil. All right, our Lord said, as he continued, he said, some of the seed fell on stony ground. You remember me mentioning that a moment ago? There was the where the soil was right on top of the rock, just a thin layer of soil, a half an inch of soil or an inch of soil on top of the rock, stony ground. And the seed fell on that stony ground, and it did begin to grow. It germinated and sprang up, and the little tender plant came up. But there was no root. There was no root, no tap root, reaching down into the soil to get the nourishment and life and water underneath. And the sun came out and just baked it and burnt it, and it withered and died. Now our Lord continued. He said, the seed that fell on the stony ground, those are the people who hear the word of God. And they hear it gladly, and they receive it immediately, and they show an interest in it, and they receive the word and begin to follow its teachings. But they have no depth. They have no tap root, no root reaching down into the nourishment of Christ, and they soon wither and die and fade away. In other words, they have no real conviction of sin. They have no true repentance and godly sorrow. They have no conflict or struggle in this matter of conviction and conversion. They have no genuine love for Christ and no saving faith in Christ. They have no awareness of what it means to be saved, what it means to know God, what it means to be separated unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the living God in Christ Jesus. They don't know what that means. And they express a gladness. He said they receive the word immediately and gladly and show a lot of interest. But their interest is not in the person of Christ. Their interest is in the benefits of Christ. Oh, they're glad to have forgiveness. And they're glad to be healed. And they're glad to prosper. And they're glad to be in good health. And they're glad to have their prayers answered. And they're glad to make new friends. And they're glad to be going to heaven. And they're glad to miss hell. And they wear little buttons that says it's fun being saved. They make quick progress in religion. They profess faith today and they're teaching a Bible class tomorrow. But something happens. The hot sun of trial and difficulty. I don't know what direction the trial may take or from what direction it'll come. Maybe it's the rain from heaven, or maybe it's the floods from earth, or maybe it's the wind that you can't even tell really where it comes from, but trial comes. The hot sun of trial and difficulty and persecution because of the Word of God. It hits them. And because they have no root, they quickly wither and die and fade away. That's what our Lord said. He said the seed falls on the stony ground, the thin layer of earth, and it springs up quickly. But it has no root. It has no source of strength. It has no source of grace. It has no source of nourishment. And therefore, when the sun comes out and bakes it, it just withers and dies. And he said, these are people who hear the gospel. It sounds good to them. And the preacher promises them forgiveness and health and prosperity and life and heaven and all of these things. And they just accept it, and with gladness they rejoice in it, and they go out and start witnessing and teaching and preaching. And then they run headlong into a severe trial, sickness or sorrow or death or persecution for the sake of the word, or any type of trial. And they quit. They just quit. Because they wither and die. They had no root. They had no tap root reaching into the water of life, into Christ. They had no root reaching down into the person of Christ, drawing from Him the strength and grace and help that they need in this time of trouble. Our Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient. But John said they went out from us because they never were of us. They never had that root. You see, the strength of the believer is not in himself. Neither is it in a plant itself. It's in the nourishment that plant gets from the ground in which it's planted. So we're planted in Christ. And our tap root, that's what Job said, the root of the matter is in me. It reaches into Christ and draws from Him all that we need. He is our strength. He is our sanctification. He is our wisdom. He is our life. Now watch this. Some fell among thorns and briars. Now listen to me. Our Lord said the sower sowed, and over there in the field were briars and vines and thorns that the plow had not dug up and plowed up. And this seed fell. Well, it grew just like the thorns and briars grew. But the little tender plant was soon choked out by the big briars and thorns that were there. And our Lord said, these are people who hear the word. They hear the truth of the word. They hear the gospel. They make a profession of faith. And they endure for a while. But then, three things. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things choke the word, and they drift away. The cares of this world. Our Lord one day said this. He said to the believers, take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. Those are the cares of this world. Well, what are we going to eat? How am I going to keep my job? How am I going to support my family? How am I going to make a living? How am I going to pay my taxes? How am I going to pay my house rent? How am I going to raise my children? How are they going to be educated? You know, I've just got to give myself to the cares of this world. He said, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your heart on the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. These are the things that the heathen seek after. But you seek first the kingdom of God, and God will supply all of your needs. He said, look at the lily of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And he said, consider the sparrows of the air. They're not worth much, and yet not a one of them falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. He said, if God clothes the flower of the field and feeds the birds of the air, shall he not much more clothe and feed you, O ye of little faith? And then the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, how the hearts of men are wooed by possessions and by riches and by the things of this world. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the apostle said. Spurgeon, the great preacher of London, England, said this, for every one man that I've seen fall through poverty, I've seen 50 fall because of riches. How riches steal our hearts away from Christ. You know, what the prophet of old said this, Lord, keep me from riches, lest I forget thee. Now, keep me from poverty, lest I steal. But keep me from riches, lest I forget God. And this is what our Lord's talking about. A man hears the gospel. Maybe he's just an ordinary fellow, you know, just getting by, and he hears the gospel. And he likes what he hears, and he starts going to church, and starts hearing the preacher, and then he gets a promotion. And then he gets on a committee, and then he gets in the country club. And then he gets with running around with a crowd that makes money and invests money. And after a while, his church is not important to him anymore. The gospel's not important to him anymore. God's not important to him anymore. The deceitfulness. Riches deceive. They deceive. They steal your heart from Christ. And then the lust of other things. Let me tell you this. Nothing is worthwhile that takes you away from Christ. I don't care what it is. That'll apply to anything. Anything. Nothing is a blessing unless it draws you closer to Christ, unless it makes Him more important, unless it sets your affections and hearts on heart on Christ. If anything in your life takes your heart away from the Redeemer, it's not worthwhile. Now, the last ground. He said some fell on good ground. Good ground. Now, the ground wasn't good by nature. It's just like all other ground. What made it good? It had been plowed. It had been broken up. It had been prepared by the farmer. It had been just disked and plowed and broken and torn apart until it was ready for the seed. And our Lord said, these are the people who receive the word. They hear the word and understand it. And it brings forth fruit. The Holy Spirit prepares the heart to receive God's word. He breaks it with Holy Spirit conviction. He breaks up our old hard, callous, indifferent, unconcerned heart. And we become concerned. Why is it one day in your life you didn't give a flip for God's word, and then suddenly, a little later, you became interested in the gospel? The Holy Spirit convicted you, showed you your need of Christ, revealed to you the Savior, the beauty of Christ, gave you repentance and faith, and brought you to Christ. And He said that good ground that received the word of God bore fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 40, but every believer bears fruit. And I believe we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and temperance. The good ground bore good fruit to different degrees, but it all bore fruit because the Word of God lives and brings life. Now, this message is on tape. A cassette tape. There are two messages on each tape. I'll bring one next Sunday on the preacher's last sermon. And you can get this tape by writing and ordering it. And the cost is $2. If you'll send $2, we'll mail you the tape. The address will be given to you in just a moment. Till next week at the same time, may God bless you, everyone.